You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses.
We're back, baby. We are back. Guidepost episode 695,000. Still in season 1.5 because that's how ASGA rolls. Rapid reaction podcast right now. Tuesday, February 17th, 7:42 p.m. right now. And we just got off Rhode Island DEM's fisheries meeting tonight that talked about, I think there were about five proposals. The first or second being about bluefish, and I just don't even think we have time to talk about that right now, but that was silly in its of its own right. We'll get back to that and maybe in a blog somewhere along the way, but I believe the fourth one came to discussion, and that was proposed Albi and Bonito management. So y'all have seen our campaign, our blogs, posts, comments, whatever, podcasts in recent weeks supporting an effort in Rhode Island for proactive management for both of these undervalued, underappreciated, and understudied, but widely valuable fisheries. So our association, in partnership with some other associations, had been in work groups and productive conversations to try to build towards some, I think, profound in a positive way, regulations that would show a shift in fisheries management to proactive management. If you're new to the game, what we mean by that is making sure we never have a problem instead of waiting until there is a problem and then trying to fix it, which is the age-old mantra of fisheries management. So in recent weeks, there have been really productive conversations. The campaign that we had been supporting and the conversations we had been sparking were based upon a bag limit for rec anglers, a minimum size limit for rec and commercial anglers, and a reasonable commercial cap that would allow these smaller scale commercial fisheries to keep operating the way that they do, still catching many of the commercial anglers on this call tonight talked about them largely as a bycatch. So still finding a way to make value out of a fish that's dying while being caught in the pursuit of other fish. And so we wanted a reasonable commercial cap in there as well. There's currently no regulation. So we thought, hey, maybe you take what's regularly caught, you multiply that by a couple, whatever might be the standard for the state, find some reasonable measure, but just to protect the rapid expansion of someone saying, hey, well, these other fisheries are in the shitter, so I might as well lean into the fact that, you know, we've had a couple good year classes of Bonito and they're everywhere and I'm gonna crush them. So what happened tonight was kind of crazy, Tony, and I think a lot of people, you nailed it right before we started this up, are probably sitting there saying, what the F just happened? And that's because there was a really different dynamic than there normally is in these fisheries meetings. Normally, we represent a certain group of anglers and a certain mindset, and we are advocating on behalf of those anglers in that mindset, and you have people that view the world differently who maybe not want their numbers to change. In this specific capacity, Tony, we were not pushing to take anything away from anyone. I think everything was a very moderate approach to it. We were not anti-commercial. We thought what we were proposing and what we were in support of was very respectful of smaller scale. All the guys that were in that room tonight and what they were trying to protect for their businesses. But something really unique happened tonight. You get to the proposals, and there are two options for people to comment on. And it made everyone from both the rec and the comm side very uncomfortable, because the two options essentially were a bag limit as described, or three fish or five fish for rec anglers. And then your two choices essentially were to pick for either commercial to have limitless opportunities fishery, zero regulation, or a complete commercial moratorium. And I'm going to let you dive into how the heck we got there. But the reality of it is a really uncomfortable conversation. I think we'll get into the public comment in a couple minutes, but I think a couple people weaponized the word science in a way that should never be weaponized, and it's really disgusting. But outside of that, I think two sectors were pitted against each other tonight in a way that they didn't need to or want to be. And Tony, what you've been more involved from the policy side of this. Obviously, I've been in the loop throughout the entire process, but you've been on every single one of these calls, if I were to not be in one. How the heck did we get from the largely positive, largely non-disruptive campaign for proactive management to what the F just went down tonight? We'll get into the public comments after, but Tony, what happened? How did we get here?
Rhode Island DEM shit the bed. There's really no other way to say it, and I wouldn't be that mean because we try to get along with states, but the individual who shit the bed lied three times on the hearing tonight. And every time he lied, it made me more and more angry. And he got a lesson in, I don't know, basic humanity.
Honesty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me tell you all what happened. So we sent a proposal in to Rhode Island DEM, and we based that proposal off science being surveys and data that Rhode Island pulled. We based it off science. So everybody's saying there's no science. Well, that's what we based our proposal off of. Maybe y'all should have attended the workshop and you could have seen the presentation from Rhode Island. Anyway, let me tell y'all. And this is pretty normal for commercial fisheries, and we'll get into a whole bunch of commercial fisheries, right? So anyway, you know, look. Even if you have the best stock assessment in the world, guess what? It's based on a model. And you know, look, what variables did they choose in that model? What timeline did they choose in that model? 10 million questions that get you ultimately to the end. And, you know, it's no more or less reliable than a weather forecast. You don't know where a storm's going to hit 10 days out. And I honestly don't think they have one clue in the world where a stock is going to be 10 years out. There's so much that can happen between now and then. So suggesting that you can't manage a fishery on a stock assessment is just utter, it's a lie. It's garbage. So let me explain what happened.
Suggesting you can't manage without one.
Sorry if I misspoke there. I'm wound up from this meeting. But to say that there's zero management, unlimited fishery because you don't have a stock assessment is peak stupidity. I mean, it's up there with like, you know, oh, look, the guy's going to pick up the lit firework on your Instagram reel. Like, it's just dumb. So let me tell you how this went. So based on their science, not ours, we looked at the surveys that they did. We looked at the landings for rec and commercial, and we came up with the 3 fish aggregate limit because 99% of the thousands of people that responded to a survey do not keep more than 3 fish. I mean, what more do you want to know? Ours was based on, we're not going to take anything from anyone. Don't want this fishery to explode. And if y'all haven't seen it, there are countless pictures from all up and down the coast of people with anywhere from 100 to over 1,000 bonito. And we can send them to you. And if you take them, if people are scared and they hear this, too late. We saved every one of your reels. We saved the screenshots off your social media. And when we go to your state, that's going to be front and center because you abused the resource. And that's how things like this happen. You're dumb. You put up, you kill 1,000 fish in a day. You think that's cool? You're going to pay for it. And here we are. It's comeuppance time. So anyway, we based our suggestion, our original proposal off what we saw coming out of Rhode Island DEM to make life easy on them. And they made life as hard as possible. And let me explain. They said that 3-year average of landings does not meet their minimum requirement for management. It's too small. And we heard a lot of people on the Kill 'Em All Charter side saying we need at least 5. So after the workshop, I sent an email to Rhode Island and I said, hey, just to alleviate, you know, any of the folks who oppose this, let's extend the timeline for the average to 5 years for commercial. And in some cases, I think that substantially increased the allowable landings. Not, I mean, you're talking like 2,000 to 4,000 pounds or 5,000 to 11,000. I don't remember what it was, but it didn't make it worse.
And just to be clear, that's when you say five fish, that's per person, right?
That's per person. Yeah.
So you're talking a group of three, group of four, taking 15 to 20 of these fish home
and
from a single trip.
And they're getting a liberalization, a 27% increase in black sea bass landings, as well as a 3 to 5 or 5 to 7 increase for bluefish. This ain't going to hurt anyone. So we're sitting there. You know, we're feeling all good about this after the workshop. And then, boom, we get the proposal out of Rhode Island DEM. And when I say we get it, I mean they hit send and we found it on the internet. They did not talk to us about this. There was no courtesy given. But what they did was they said, okay, yeah, thanks for your suggestion. So here's one proposal with three fish. Here's one proposal with five fish. The three fish proposal, total moratorium on commercial fishing. The five fish proposal, no regulations whatsoever, free for all. So that's what we ended up with. Instead of something that made sense, is based on precedent, all that kind of stuff. Well, guess what? Nope. They just said all or nothing. And I got to tell you, they did. I'm just going to be brutally honest. When we saw the proposal, we called Rhode Island DEM. And, you know, first, what was the first thing you would say? Okay, you said in your document it doesn't meet minimum standards for man. What's your minimum standard? What is it? Work with us. Well, you know, this fishery's that, and this fishery's that. But, you know, Bonito, they catch them in gill nets. They can catch them in fish traps. 20 minutes of playing whack-a-mole. And what we found out is they lied. Rhode Island does not have any minimum standard. And it's right there. They put it on the document. And again, I would not be saying that. So fast forward to the meeting. And obviously the commercial people are riled up. And what Rhode Island DEM doesn't understand, because they don't live in the real world, that they work for a state agency in a bubble in an ivory tower and don't have to actually deal with the shit that the rest of us have to deal with. And, you know, they're like, hey, look what we did. Moratorium or nothing. Good luck, guys. Fight amongst yourselves. And a couple people asked throughout the hearing, like, where'd you get this moratorium from? And this little individual that I was on a Zoom with said three times it was the industry proposal. And every time
specifically, he said the Guides Association.
Yeah, okay, that was the first time.
Not even industry. The first time specifically called out.
Back me up on this, Cody. I mean, you made a comment too. Back me up.
Well, it was very specifically called out that this came from, quote unquote, the Guides Association, which is also disrespectful to the other parties that were involved in the development of this in the workshop. So there was no one. Not only were we not trying to solely take claim for what is happening here, but also, you messed up how this should have played out of the workshop, and now you're trying to blame us. This was essentially them trying to throw us under the bus for trying to do good work. And I got pretty riled up. I was actually, Tony, you know me, sometimes I get a pretty good comment going. I'm not afraid to get on the microphone. I mean, we've done almost 200 of these damn things, podcasts now at this point. I was planning to have like a 30-second comment. I was going to be like, hey, support this, listen to everyone else going on, thank you, whatever. I knew you were going to speak on behalf of the association, and I figured I'd just be short, sweet, to the point, save everyone some time. I believe the third or fourth person on the mic, I could be off by a couple there, but it was within the first half dozen, walked up to the microphone, representing obviously not our sector, representing a different sector, said that this was a public hearing and they would refuse to abide by the clock. To which the chair of this meeting said, okay, fine, yeah, I wasn't even going to enforce it. 10 minutes for one single comment. And it needed one of those little like meme plugins where you have the video where it goes, not once in that entire comment did you say anything close to a productive thought. Everyone here is stupider for having heard that, and may God have mercy on your soul. Whatever the exact quote is from Adam Sandler, because it was a ramble on science. It was a ramble on the lack thereof and the weaponization
state regulation, state codes, 1-74939 or 24719 or 2. You know, and it's like
saying that there's no science, then saying the science is outdated, telling someone they have to do the science before they can make any policy efforts, then quoting research from 1956, then making up an arbitrary release mortality metric that we know doesn't exist because we are in the process of paying for and helping to execute research that would hopefully establish the baseline for it. Lots of references to aging without likely having any context on the difference between otolith and finclip aging and the end count you would need to have a substantial peer-reviewed balance of age, sex, and length for that fishery. But all that is just... Stop with all the educated gobbledygook, Cody. We're talking about science here. We're trying to talk science. And from there, you know, it took the gloves off because we were thrown under the bus. We were to blame for this horrible presentation of all or nothing that pitted two groups together in a way that they did not need to be. And then a couple people went on to make some statements. The one that really stuck with me is, we're risking replacing science with speculation. And these are the same people that use speculation to debate science in other realms for other fisheries. Some people said that there were no clear problems for management to solve with this, and that management was designed to solve problems. And I made it very clear, I'm sick of inheriting fisheries with problems. Why do we have to have a problem? Not once when you go to the doctor does the doctor say, nah, I wouldn't start eating healthy until you're about to die. Maybe you should just eat healthy before you end up, so that way you never have to see the doctor. Because in this analogy, the doctor is management, and we operate in this realm, ASGA, but it also sucks. Tony would agree, this realm sucks, and more often than not, it becomes a mess in ways that it doesn't need to be because of how these things play out. And while our opinion of how things should be managed might not be the same way that people view the world, I have always told you, Tony, I have more respect for people who grew up differently than I do and view the world differently than I do. I have way more respect for them than people that lie and are in the middle and messing it up. If a commercial angler at this meeting, some of them did step up and say, man, this is a small fishery for me, but these fish die the way that I'm fishing anyways, and there's worth getting a value out of them, and there's an artisanal role for, you know, sea to table for them, I'm with you on all of those. I'm not against you. So it really upset me that it made the state sound like all of our hard work was against them and positioned against them, because we're not against, I completely and wholeheartedly agree there. And anyone saying that a commercial cap was a risk to their future, here's the reality. We didn't even propose a specific cap. We proposed, hey, why don't you take an average and then go off there? But also, I know you are in these conversations, Tony, and said, yeah, well, if what is the minimum then? So is it 2x that? Is it 3x that? What is the minimum that the state can manage where we can still show respect to commercial anglers and allow them to exist without ever allowing someone to decide they're going to balloon this out, make all their living off of it, and delete this entire fishery in 3 seconds? So anyone who says the cap that's an inflated cap that we just said basically, okay, well, what's the smallest number you guys are comfortable with? And we could probably find comfort there. If you're saying that's a threat to you, you're saying the quiet part out loud, is that your goal is expansion of this. Your goal is that in the future, that could be an opportunity to you. If 2x, 3x, 4x is a threat to you, then that shows where it's going and that we're not having real honest conversations. I'm so incredibly sick. Everyone gives me shit when I say I'm one of the younger people in the room at a lot of these meetings, and they go all the, ha ha, you're making me feel old, Cody. I'm sick of people touting their tenure in this shit. None of our fisheries are doing fucking good. Excuse my language. What of our fisheries have fucking gotten better? Now I'm fired up in the last couple decades. What have I watched improve in my 30 years on this planet? And you say, well, I've been on this board 92 years and, you know, started with this commission with the dinosaurs.
Cody,
give a shit. Ruined everything for us.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if I'd be putting that on my resume.
Yeah, I'm a 30-year instructor and everyone's
for
failed.
20 years and I'm like, so you've overseen the collapse of multi-billion-dollar economies up and down the coast, advocated solely for commercial fishing, and done a hell of a job of wiping out every fishery in New England.
Yeah. Tell me more about how you've just been doing it longer than
me. It's not much to brag about. Like, maybe California worse history of fisheries management? I mean, Jesus.
I've been a mechanic 50 years, and every truck I've worked on's broke down. Like, congratulations. So, my closing statement was that the lack of science, you know, when you make a decision with a lack of science, and listen, this is not a science-heavy fishery. No one has said that. We've acknowledged that. That's why we're trying to do the science. The decisions you make with a lack of science reflect your integrity. They inflect they reflect how risk averse you are, your character, what you're willing to wager. And what happened tonight was really gross, the way it played out. I'm glad that we hopped on here to talk about it, even just briefly, to give people an idea of what's going on. It's going to be really interesting. I'll let you rip here in a second, but just follow me here. Like, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And I wish that I could have been in the room tonight. I think I texted someone who was in the room because I said, the last couple commercial anglers who went up and spoke, I would have walked over, shook their hand, and said, I completely agree with what you just said. And just know that anything that I believe in this room wouldn't affect exactly what you just said. Now, I do have some questions when someone's like, we only kill 12,000 of them a year, and this guy's a bigger operation than I, and he could kill 4,000 in a day if it happened. And I'm kind of like, okay, well, sometimes the numbers aren't numbering here. But regardless, God, it really upsets me when the system pits people against each other in a way that doesn't need to. It just happened in the clean water discussion down here when I was in a office with a representative, and he said, well, I talked to this captain and he's a pro-ag captain. And I said, all right, why would you say that? You're telling me that we need to be less confrontational. You just made the assumption that every other fishing captain is anti-agriculture. And so you're positioning people against each other in a way that doesn't need to be. That was exactly what happened tonight. And it had me worked up, and I'm really interested to see how this plays out, Tony, because people talked about, oh, you don't have a minimum cap. Well, how'd you find 50,000 pounds for tog?
Yeah.
And I think Ray Jarvis was the captain in the room who called that out from the back. It was kind of hard to hear some of the people when they're in person from Zoom. And they said, yes, we believe we do. It is 50,000. And we have to work really hard and make a lot of calls for our reporting to manage it. Okay. So do that. I mean, you're saying that you can't do it, and then you literally said that you did it. It wasn't a great showing. I don't mean to rip representatives and state employees because they take a lot of shit in a lot of these things. Tonight was not a great showing. It's almost kind of like your favorite sports team, Tony, where they lose, and you kind of just got to sit back and be like, man, we look like shit tonight. When it comes to fisheries management, Rhode Island did not have a great showing. That meeting started off with someone saying, hey, you want to liberalize bluefish? Is there even a minimum size right now? And there was like dead silence for a minute while they were like, we're not sure.
They don't know.
Let
they didn't
us
even
check.
Know what the minimum size was.
So you want to liberalize and open up a fishery to more harvest, a fishery that has not yet rebuilt, a fishery that has more science and says that it doesn't rebuild. So where are the pro-science guys in the room there? And then you want to liberalize the fishing. And then when you get asked what the regs are right now, you go, anyone? Bueller? Not a great showing for Rhode Island. And it's not to say that this is done. because we're going to see how this plays out. So hopefully there is a meeting that comes together with worthy parties that can have an adult conversation and find a way to protect this fishery and protect small operation and commercial operations. But I mean, really, really tough night for the boys on the court tonight. Really tough night.
So just to get back to like how we got here, people were really confused in the meeting. I'm talking about recreational anglers. Everyone was like, what do you mean a commercial moratorium? Like, we were at the workshop. Nobody asked for this. And I'm not kidding you. Three times. Well, this was the industry proposal. And then finally, he got on the mic and was like, well, the industry proposed this and we couldn't manage it. So our only option was moratorium because it was so small. Well, when it was my turn for comment, I told a little bit of a different story. I told the story about us seeing it, being shocked, getting on the Zoom, finding out they really don't have a minimum. I'm begging them, like, what is a reasonable minimum? And just getting a lot of bullshit mumbo jumbo. And really, this is the deal. This is the deal. There are very smart people at Rhode Island DEM. Jason McNamee is very smart. He's an incredibly well-respected mathematician, statistician, stock assessment guy. Like, he's just a smart dude. Nicole Lingus Costas is a very smart lady. She is also a stock assessment person. I have listened to her in hours upon hours of meeting. She knows her stuff and she tries to do the right thing. And I'm isolating those two people because I have had pretty much positive experiences with them. And I find them to be intelligent, and, you know, I think they care. I will tell you, Jason has a way of getting sidetracked because he is so smart. My son's kind of like this, but my son's arguably considerably smarter than Jason. But Jason, Gil, get wrapped around. I'm sorry, I'm biased. He's my kid. Jason will get wrapped around the axle, and he forgets that it's people's lives. And he thinks it's a math problem. And it's not. It's people's lives. So by the time this got to me, I said this, and I'm just going to kind of read what I said because I was pretty wound up, and I just want to be transparent and want y'all to know. I said, just to be clear, a moratorium was never ASGA's position. Commercial moratorium. We don't support a commercial moratorium. This testimony is being recorded, and I am going on record saying that. Our written comments will reflect this as well. We would like to work with the other sector to find a compromise, and that offer is on the table. The moratorium option was generated by the state. They did not make us aware of it. We saw it when it came out the same time that everyone else saw it, and they did nothing but create division, and that is on the state agency and not us. I won't go through the rest of my testimony, but if that gives you any indication of how unsettling this whole thing was, I hope it does. And look, here is the basic thing. Anyone who says there's a gazillion of these things in the ocean is full of shit because you're contradicting yourself. We all know by now there's no stock assessment. Now, hopefully, what we will see shortly is the information that we have been throwing money hand over fist at New England Aquarium for. But this I know, and this I will share, that the fish that we tagged with telemetry tags, not spaghetti tags, with telemetry tags, the fish that we tagged were right up against the beach one day, and a couple hours later, they were 20-something miles offshore in the wind array. Because there's a receiver array in the wind array. And they would zip right back into shore. So in any given day, I mean, dude, these fish can go 20 miles, like, in the blink of an eye. Okay? So in any given day, when the guys on the beach are like, yeah, we had a run in the morning, and the guys fishing the wind arrays or somewhere offshore are like, yeah, we saw them. They showed up around 10 o'clock. It's the same fish. I don't know what else to say. These are not tog. These are not sea robins. They have little forked tails, and they swim faster than grease lightning. And they will do what, like, just like a striper following the sand eels offshore and coming back in, that daily migration, every day of sand eels. They're doing the same thing. They're hunting for food. It's a smorgasbord in Cape Cod. And they could have breakfast on the beach in the morning and lunch offshore in the afternoon and come back where it's nice and safe around the beach at night. And they do it a lot. So it gives this false impression that there's a gazillion of them. Because I'll tell you what, Cody will tell you, they show up like clockwork and they leave like clockwork from Florida. And magically, in a little bit of time, boop, there they are in North Carolina. And then a little bit of time after that, boop, there they are in Nantucket Sound and off Cape Cod. And I mean, you sit there and you look at it, and you look at the charts that we have, and you're like, well, there it is. There it all is. You know, there are not a gazillion of them just all together. I wish there were. So anyway, look, yeah, here's the
bottom line.
I was
kind
of
amused. The gentleman who was like, well, I could catch 100 of them in a second. Y'all just don't know how to fish. Just take a little advice. Not what you want to say. When you want people to not have regulations, don't say you can catch 100 of them in 2 minutes and that you know where they all are.
Not a great advocate.
Not great for your side. I'm just trying to put you on game here a little bit. Second of all, saying, well, y'all, we want to see science, and you idiots are saying you did science and you only tagged 100 of them. You know that 100 acoustic tags cost about an annual salary for the average fishing guide?
50K.
Yeah, maybe I'm roasting people's salaries there. Hopefully everyone's doing a little bit better. But and it's tough times out here. But, you know, that's 50,000 just the cost of tags, not talking about the deployment time, gas.
Well, the thing is, like don't talk out of your ass, dude, because we tagged thousands. We have tagged more albies in the past couple years than everyone's tagged albies in the history of mankind.
We so also like, have, don't... I remember the federal report that came out, and it was like, there's the year from this year's tagging to this year's tagging, and it's all the different color codes for the species, and it goes from little toony having almost none or none to like being a giant block of the entire colorway against all the species tagged within the cooperative tagging program. So,
but you know, Cody, it just what it comes down to is this, and I feel the same way about that one individual from Rhode Island DEM. Don't talk to me like I'm an idiot. Because yep. Let me tell you something. You run a commercial fishing operation. I built a national association brick by brick. Funded it. Found the right people to work for it. We're not the same. And I'm giving you respect. I give all of these people respect. But there's also like, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? Like, do you think we just up and decided one day, like, oh yeah, fish are cool. You know, like, oh, you know, I'm a retired mechanical engineer and, you know, decided to retire on Cape Cod and picked up fishing when I was 67. Like, we have not thought about anything other than fish since we were two. And we decided to teach ourselves, or like Cody went to school for it. And like, we don't talk down to anyone, nobody. Treat everyone with humanity. Have this thing inside us that, you know, every human deserves respect. But when you don't give it to us, don't expect it in return. Like, don't. And when you come against us, do your research. Because we do. And, it doesn't have to be this way. It just doesn't. Like... Do you think the commercial fishermen and the charter for hire guys are going to be thrilled in Rhode Island when a menhaden purse seine boat comes down from Maine and circles up a big-ass school of bonito and puts them on the boat, and they're like, hey, what's this about? hey, let's sell it for tuna bait for 8 cents a pound, eh? That's, I don't know what my main accent is. I'm just making, that was probably more Canadian. But I thought it was
that sounded like more they give traumatic brain injury, but continue.
Well, okay, so things are starting to line up, Cody. So they're, hey, let's stuff them in a lobster pot. Like, you know what that sounded like? That sounded like the beer movie from the 70s. I'll remember it in a second. The one with Rick Moranis in it. In any event, hey, hosers. That's where I got. Sorry, that was that accent. But in any event, you know, like, do you want that? Do you want a bunch of people running around on jet skis, throwing their jigs against boats, killing every Albion Bonito they can, stuffing in a cooler, going to a mothership, and then selling it on the black market and a farmer's market? You know, I bet you don't. And so, like, we're protecting you too, you Nimrod. Like, everyone's so defensive. And, you know, Cody, like, I never saw this more clearly before, but it's almost like these management bodies set stuff up so people fight. And I'm telling you this. I know this. I know this. And I bet my life on it. When Rhode Island did that workshop, they got some pushback from some established, you know, charter, kill 'em all charter party boat crowd, or some commercial people, and they messed around with the commercial side of it and proposed it in that way to create division and to let them weasel out of doing anything, and weasel being the operative word. And what I'm saying right now, I said, boom, right on the Zoom last week. I said, if this is your attempt to avoid controversy, you are going about it in a terrible fashion. And you are going to get controversy. So, you know, Cody, we outmatched them 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 40-something to 6. We 7-8X'd them, dude.
I want to jump in there. I'm going to throw some names out just that I can remember. Shannon Richards, he's always on there. Great comment, thoughtful comment as well. I absolutely belly laughed because Tony went off the rails a little bit, rightfully so. And when Shannon's mic unmuted, he goes, do I really have to follow that? It's pretty awesome. But great comment. Peter, Eric, Saltwater Edge. There was a couple other people from the Saltwater Edge family, if I remember correctly. Outstanding. Paul from one of our last podcast episodes was on there.
We had Parker and Chris.
Yep.
Both guides from the area. Ray, a guide from the area.
Yep.
Paul Osimo, yep, who we had on the podcast, he gave another great testimony.
Paul Kameen was great.
Paul Kameen out of left field just drilled him to a wall. Great young man, great future advocate.
Mike Hogan, Hoagie Lewis.
We had Hoagie, Joe Bags after several technical difficulties. I gotta tip my hat to Joe Bags because that dude stuck with it.
Persistence, yep.
Zoom can be a wicked thing, and Joe gets the gold perseverance star.
But you know, Joe Gugino out of Boston Harbor tuned in. I know he had kiddos. Ben Wally tuned in.
And let me tell you, Ben Wally's not feeling great. It's nothing to worry about or anything, but we know he's a little bit under the weather. And yeah, man, let me tell you something. If you show up and you're sick, man, you're a fucking tank.
I'm dropping a lot of F-bombs. Thankfully, yeah, this podcast is not monetized in any way because we would be demonetized after tonight.
We had
Rex Messing.
Rest Messings from Sims stepped up. We had Chris McGuire from the Nature Conservancy, who sits on the Massachusetts State Fisheries Council, talking about Massachusetts experiences.
BHA, Mike was on there.
Mike Woods, just time after time after time, lights it up. The guy,
Nick Jones,
a powerhouse advocate. Nick Jones, the entire crew from Saltwater Edge.
Yep. If we're forgetting you, there's probably someone out there that's like, what the hell? They said everyone but me.
My brain
if
is
we're
like
forgetting you.
Worse than Jell-O now.
It's all love. But, and I also want to say, if you said it was like 48 to 6, whatever the number said, one of my closing thoughts for this podcast is about four of those six, I'm with you, and I wasn't against you tonight. There are one or two people that were playing games, and they know that they were playing games. But withstanding those couple people, the vast majority of the other side, quote unquote, shouldn't even have been the other side tonight. That's the most disgusting part, right? Is like we just don't. This should be one of the few opportunities. Proactive should be one of the few opportunities for Rec and Com to come together, because no one has to take a major cut at that perspective.
Well, Cody, let me put it to you this way. Okay, I mean, and this is just simple. This is as simple as it gets, and any person can understand this. If you can harvest a fish on a commercial level without a stock assessment, then you can manage one without a stock assessment. And I listed a ton of species in Rhode Island that have no stock assessment. None. Cunner, mantis shrimp, whelk, Jonah crab. Sand lance, bull minnows, sparing. You know, I mean, dude, there's an awful lot that gets harvested with no stock assessment. And like I said on my testimony, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you want to open up Pandora's box, we'll start going after every commercial fishery in Rhode Island that doesn't have a stock assessment. And if you didn't notice tonight, there's a hell of a lot more of us than you. So like, you know, we're happy to get along. I mean, I put the olive branch out tonight. But if, you know, it resorts to calling names and saying stupid, untrue shit, you're going to get what you give. I promise you. I'm a mirror reflection. And just remember that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd laugh my ass off if you heard me talk on a mic at a public comment thing. And then if you heard me talk on a outdoor basketball court, pick up basketball. Two very different people. So keep the Hooper on the court and keep nerdy Cody on the microphone here.
And we don't want to be that way. It's not a threat. I'm just saying, like, I'm not some patsy that doesn't know my shit that you can say dumb stuff and get away with it. I'm going to pants you right in front of everyone. Like, even the people that hate me the most, which there's a long line, not a one of them doesn't think I'm a worthy opponent. They hate me because I give them such indigestion, and I'm okay with that. So like, there's no reason to go about it this way. You know, if you want out of state purse seiners scooping up all your fish, or people not going through the reporting and jumping through the hoops that y'all have to do and selling them on the black market, and that's your future, we're not going to be friends. So, and I'd rather be friends. So we're good. We just wanted to give a rapid reaction. And again, God, if we missed anyone, we are sorry. That wasn't our intention, but thank all the almost 50 people that showed up and slam dunked it tonight. We appreciate all of you.
We'll put this in the library of sub 30 minute podcasts Tony and Cody committing to that still go over 40. So yeah. Another 30 minutes in the books with 10 extra, but it was a lot of thank yous and a little bit of grumbling. So much appreciated. Stay with us. We'll keep you updated as this goes down the pipeline. Thank y'all.